Hello, everyone. I have to tell you, I'm nervous. And I think it's not because I feel like I'm going to forget my lines, because I had none. But it's because there's a level of vulnerability that comes with telling your story. It's in asking yourself, am I saying too much? What response will I get from the audience? Do they really see me as this? Would they victimize me because of my story or inflict self-pity? So I just want to say I'm first grateful to be in this space because everyone was able to share their story because they felt safe. So thank you. I was scared. I reached out to my friend Minky in Nigeria and I said, I don't know if I should register for this because I feel so anxious and I don't think my story is worthy. And he said, a part of your heart wants to share your story. So focus on that part of your heart. So I think when it comes to balance, we constantly have to redefine what balance means to us. So focus on that part of your heart that gives you love. I'm going to take you back to 2001. I was 7 years old in Nigeria. I grew up in the north. All of a sudden, we started hearing gunshots, people screaming, people shouting. Dead bodies on the floor. We had to run for safety. So we went into what we call NDLEA, like the military barrack. But even that was not safe enough because we were not sure if people were going to come in through the doors to shoot us. I stayed with my neighbor wearing the car. Our skin left for the mosquitoes to bite. There was no toilets. We had to pee on the grass. Gunshots everywhere. People crying. There were no cell phones. Unfortunately, my mom was sick at that time and had to go to the hospital. And rumor came and said that there were people, the people who were attacking, had dressed up as doctors and had gone to the hospital. And so there was a probability that they would kill the patients who did not agree with their belief. How were we supposed to find out what was going on? Thankfully, my mom came back. Gradually, from that age, the core foundation of what I believed in began to form, and you would see it evolve in my story. That was not my first crisis. Through secondary school, I grew up hearing gunshots, hearing about people dying. From the northern part of Nigeria, you probably would have heard of Boko Haram. I remember this one time when I was going to school. Things had settled now. I was with Florence and I was with Roshak, names that would be familiar soon in my story. We used to walk to go to school and we would cross this Ridisu River. And this very day we came back and there was this guy with a knife on his hand and with leaves in his hand. And he was coming after us. I was really small then. My legs were so tiny. And he was coming after us and he wanted to kidnap us. In Nigeria, they call it like ritual, so they cut off a part of your body and use it for whatever they wanted to do. And he was running after us. And I was so small, and Florence and Roshak had to protect me. And I remember injuring myself. If you look at the back of my left and my Achilles tendon, you would see the scar, because sometimes in balance, we move around with scars. But even that scar doesn't define us, but it redefines our vision. And so my little blood was dripping on the road and we ran for safety. And now combining my education, where every time I hear gunshots, and now I'm a child, I'm growing, and I'm saying someone wants to kidnap me, you begin to ask yourself, so why should I even bother about education? So I wanted to get married. I feel like it was the easy option. I mean, just have a husband. He's going to have money, and all you have to do is cook and have children. So my vision began, I began to form my vision around having a home and marriage. And then I had an opportunity to leave Nigeria. I have to tell you, I'm family-oriented. I love my family. I'm the only child, and when I was 11, my dad passed away, but I can't go into that story now. So life happens even in creating balance, and that's okay. So I went to St. Kitts at 19, and when I went to St. Kitts, this is a new environment, new people. I had to strive through medical school, balancing my grades. And unfortunately, the economy of my country crashed at that point, and I only had my mom. I did not have a scholarship, and there was a time I had to stop school because I couldn't afford it. I had to pick up jobs like selling drinks. My best friend would cook the food, and because I'm not so great in cooking, I'll just sell the drinks. So if you buy your food, you can as well take a drink and water. I'll braid people's hair so that I can help my mom. And one thing happened when I was young that I must mention is that I was around 13 or 14. My mom took me to an orphanage home. And when I saw the children there, it felt like I saw my family members. Like, that was just one of the best things in my life. And so I found myself every year going to the orphanage. I found myself in St. Kitts taking the children from the orphanage home. We took them to the cinema because I wanted them to have an experience that was different from what they usually have. I went to St. Lucia and I did the same thing. And when I went to Jamaica in 2018, we made it official and we had Jessica Foundation, a nonprofit foundation birthed out of love for the vulnerable. Now, as my life began to evolve, I did not see my situation or my circumstance as a victim. But when I think of the 8-4 that I go through on a daily basis, I also think of the 8-4 that happens in my mind. And so I think of the Boko Haram girls that were kidnapped in school. I think of the people in Nigeria. I think of the people in other countries. And that is why you'll find Jessica Foundation reaching out to people in Afghanistan, in Yemen. You'll find Jessica reaching out to Ukraine, because where there is a will, there is a way. So my story about balance is not because I have everything figured out. My story about balance is because I have decided to make up my mind to be the best version of myself. And like a butterfly, I'm evolving beautifully so. I remember being a doctor in Jamaica, working for long hours. I saw the impact of not having a balance affect my relationship with my patients. I have meals at 11 p.m., my first day of the meal. I started projecting anger on people. I became a version of who I did not want to be. So sometimes when you find the definition of your balance changing, you have to take some steps back and redefine it. And that's okay. Before I go, I remember the concept of balance taught me to value time. I had a patient, very nice patient. Each time I would draw blood from her, we would talk about things, and she would be like, "Oh wow, you're such a great doctor," and we'll talk about my plans and my schoolwork. And for a while, I never saw her again in the hospital. And so one day I was on call around 3 a.m. I came in and I saw her, and she's like, "Oh, have you written that exam?" And I told her I was so anxious. I didn't know I was going to do it well. And she says, "I trust you'll be fine." And she said, "I feel like I'm going down the drain." I was like, "Which drain? You're not going down the drain." I came back that morning at 8 a.m. I looked for her bed. I asked, "Where is she?" And they told me she passed on. Because in balance, you understand that life is very fleeting. So for each moment you have with family, with friends, with people you love, take out time to redefine balance. And don't do it out of guilt. Because sometimes I feel so guilty. I feel like I have to give my all to everything and my all to nothing and my all to everything and my all to nothing. And I'm so confused at the end of the day, and so I sleep. And that's okay. So I do hope that as we leave this place, we redefine what balance means to each and every one of us. And hold on to what matters to you the most, because you are absolutely worth it. Thank you.